Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on Christmas Eve. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both in a wild NFL weekend. Jamie Maggio is joining me today. Then I'm going to go skiing. Jamie, great to see you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not going skiing because last time I did that, I tore my ACL.
Oh, don't ski then.
So you ski for both of us.
Taking the kids skiing. All right. It is great to be here. I'm happy to be here. I love to be here today. This is usually a vacation week. And I said, no. I'm coming working Monday. There's too much to talk about. And so we have a completely packed show today. Thank you so much as you unwrap gifts in the next couple of hours for joining us today on FS1. I just want to say this to start. Great game last night. Great games yesterday. But you do get Russell Wilson was better than Patrick Mahomes last night. And Mahomes will win the MVP. And Russell Wilson did not make the Pro Bowl. Aaron Rodgers did. And Russell Wilson beat Aaron Rodgers this year head-to-head too. Russell Wilson didn't just win last night. He out-Mahomed Mahomes. The biggest scramble of the night? Oh, that was Russell. The biggest throw of the night? Oh, that was Russell. With less surrounding talent, he had significantly more first downs, was better on third down, was more accurate as a thrower, averaged over a yard more per pass, and dominated time of possession. But the media is so desperate to find the new shiny toy that they overlook a LeBron when it comes to MVP and give it to the flashy guard. They overlook the great players right in front of them like Russell Wilson. It's the new guy who doesn't look when he throws. For the record, if you're going to be MVP, I think you have to win one of the four biggest games this year. And Mahomes is now 0-4. And this is not criticizing him as a player. It's not all his fault. But Goff, Brady, Rivers, and Wilson on a Sunday night, a Monday night, a Thursday night, and again a Sunday night, standalone games, all of them, Goff, Brady, Rivers, Wilson, were the better quarterback at the end of those games. More decisive, made the big throw, made the big decision. All four were better. Not saying Mahomes isn't amazing, fun, clever. Congrats to the Chiefs. You found your dude. He is awesome. I love watching him play. But 0-4 in the four biggest games of the year should not be MVP. All NFL games are not equal. That's why they give the Heisman to the quarterback who plays great in the biggest games. Tua in Alabama dominated Citadel, struggled against Georgia, and didn't win. I don't care what you do in September. You know a team that struggles in September? Every year, New England. This league is about post-Thanksgiving. It's about standalone primetime games. Kirk Cousins is great on that 1 o'clock window. He and Andy Dalton can't win primetime games, and that's why fans criticize him. I'm not blaming Mahomes for anything. He's fantastic. He's a great kid. He's got a great story. I am rooting for him. I love Andy Reid. The Chiefs will make the playoffs. Hey, I said I think they have a chance probably to get to the AFC Championship. But you do get last night, the guy with the defensive head coach with less surrounding talent was the better quarterback. Chris Collinsworth, who loves Mahomes, I mean, he loves Mahomes, admitted late that Mahomes was the second best quarterback on the field.
Second down and 12. And Wilson going for it all.
Russell Wilson is the best deep ball thrower in the game right now. And the reason, look at the height he gets on this football. He's going to throw it straight up in the air. And as a receiver, what happens is it comes straight down. So even though the defense is right there, it gives you a chance to pin him on your back, extend your arms, and make the play. If that ball comes in a low trajectory, you can't do that. That is a phenomenal throw. You want to add a name to the MVP list and conversation? Throw in Russell Wilson. He's been that good tonight.
Yeah, except he's been here a while, so he didn't make the Pro Bowl. And Mahomes is the shiny new toy, and he'll be the MVP. We always get lost in volume. Buffets don't have the best food. They just have more of it. We get lost in volume. Only three times this year has Russell Wilson thrown the ball 32 times or more. It's the opposite for Mahomes. Only three games he's thrown for 32 or fewer times. But just because there's more Mahomes doesn't make him better. Russell Wilson is the better of those two quarterbacks, and it was on full display last night. I think it's a bit ironic Kansas City bum-rushed Alex Smith out of town because he won a lot of games that didn't count and couldn't win the biggie. And Mahomes is a legend, and he's 0-4 in the big four standalone games. Russell Wilson is third in the NFL in passing touchdowns, third in the NFL in passer rating with a defensive coach, a rebuilding offensive line, and no, quote, stars around him. This is not to criticize Patrick Mahomes. He will win the MVP. I love young quarterbacks. He's going to be an awesome Favre-like player. He's going to end up in a couple of Super Bowls. I hope he and Andy Reid win a couple. Heck, it may be this year. But new doesn't mean better, and volume and more doesn't mean better. Russell Wilson is the better of those two quarterbacks now, previously, and for the next several years. Let me shift gears to this. It is amazing. I've been watching the NFL for four decades. I've never seen a year like this. We're going into week 17. The AFC is pure insanity. There's still stuff up for grabs in the NFC. It doesn't work out this way. Usually week 16, 17, people are resting starters. It is unbelievable what's going on right now. And the most unbelievable thing is the Pittsburgh Steelers are currently in eighth in the AFC and only six teams go. How is that possible? Antonio Brown, Pittsburgh is so talented that Antonio Brown was double teamed most of the night and still had 14 catches. They went to New Orleans, according to Vegas, the hardest place in the NFL to win, against one of the NFL's best coaches, best quarterbacks, best defenses, best running backs, and actually one time of possession, total plays, yards per play. Pittsburgh is so talented, they're on their third running back. Oh, yeah, he's good too. They've got two Pro Bowlers on the offensive line. They're tied for third in sacks. Young linebackers, outstanding. You know what the Pittsburgh Steelers have become? They're that guy or gal you work with, and they do just the minimum amount of work to get the job done and not an inch more. And you can't fire them because they do get the work done, but you're always like, brah, really? 2-hour lunch? The Steelers may miss the playoffs, and it won't be because of last night. It will be because they lost at Oakland. There's no excuse. Losing last night, there's an excuse. The Saints are great, especially at home. I'm not going to blame the fake punt. That's not why they won't make the playoffs. I got the call. I may have done it. You can't lose to Oakland and tie Cleveland and lose to Denver and blow a 16-point lead at home in the second half to the Chargers. This continues to be the most unexplainable gifted team in the league. I mean, think about this. There's a dubious stat the Steelers have, and I don't like going on and on about stats. But the Steelers own a dubious stat, and I think it says a lot about their organization. In the last 10 years, when a team goes on the road and is favored by 9.5 points, that means the team that's going on the road is way better. The Steelers are 6-5. The rest of the league is 52-10. They just do the minimum amount of work required. And this year, again, it bit them in the butt. They tied Cleveland. They lost at Oakland. They blew a 16-point lead. Kevin Colbert, the GM, has done an amazing job. The Rooney family has done an amazing job to provide Big Ben and Mike Tomlin great young linebackers, pass rush, three capable running backs, superstars at wide receiver. They're doing their job. Big Ben, Mike Tomlin, blame who you want. But you know how on this show we end every Monday doing the three-word game to describe every NFL game? If you had to describe the Steelers in three words, talented, hot mess. They didn't lose because of a fake punt. They lost because they lost to Oakland. And they just do the minimum work. I heard over the weekend, I didn't get it double sourced, but I heard a source tell me 10 Steeler players were on their cell phones at half against New England. At half. Now, I couldn't get it double sourced. I'm not sure if it's true, but the source that told me I trust. Come on now. Come on now. Mike Tomlin after the game.
We made the bed. We'll lay in it. And I'll expect us to lay in it very well and perform. We'll control what it is that we can control, and that's our preparation to play next week. All other things out of our control, we won't worry much about. Like everyone else, man, we've had, 15 opportunities to this point to state a case for ourselves. So we won't lament about our positioning. We'll just simply control the things that are in front of us, and that's next week's preparation and play.
He is absolutely the best in the league at the podium after a win or a loss. And again, I'm not calling for Tomlin to be fired or Ben to be replaced. They get just enough of the work done. But this year, I'm afraid, Oakland, 16-point lead, Cleveland, Denver, it's going to bite them in the butt. And there's really no excuse. What do the wise guys wear? I get asked that from time to time. The answer is the new gear from the HerdNow.com merchandise store. We are now officially open for business. We have all the apparel diehard Herd fans need to represent the show. Go to theherdnow.com. If you don't, that's a you problem. And that's a you problem is one of our shirts. Check it out. Theherdnow.com. Theherdnow.com store is open for business today.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So, the Cowboys, I just want to mention this. The Dallas Cowboys won their division. Again, third in 5 years. A terrible head coach, Jason Garrett. That guy is just terrible. He won his division again. Zeke led the NFL in rushing again. The best midseason acquisition in the NFL, Amari Cooper, Dallas Cowboys. You know, we're kind of lump Dallas into these groups of dysfunctional, underachieving teams, and they're neither. You want to know who underachieved this year? Cam Newton in Carolina, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Big Ben, the Jags, Atlanta, the Vikings, the Packers. Carolina's got 6 wins. Jags have 5. Atlanta's a mess. Green Bay's in 3rd place. The Eagles have to cross their fingers and pray in Week 17. And the Steelers are absurdly underachieving. Colin, where's the Super Bowls? You keep telling me Aaron Rodgers is the GOAT. He's been to one in over a decade. Drew Brees, one of my 8 favorite quarterbacks of all time, with an unbelievable Hall of Fame head coach, has also been to one. Who's piling up Super Bowl appearances outside of New England? Let's start with nobody and go from there. Dallas is really good. They're a really good NFL franchise, and they're going to host, after winning their division, a playoff game, probably against Seattle, and they're going to beat Seattle in a close, fairly low-scoring game. And the Cowboys will have the best linebacking duo in football. They will have the best running back in football. In my opinion, arguably, the best front 7 in football. The coolest stadium in football. The greatest revenue in football. The biggest brand in football. That's better than 85% of this league. Tough talk in Philadelphia. Cowboys swept them. Number 1, Saints. Cowboys beat them. Last 3 years, they are the winningest NFC team. We lump Dallas in with dysfunctional teams. No, let me read you dysfunctional teams. Bills, Cleveland, Jets, Oakland, Cincy, and Detroit. 6 of them. Those are dysfunctional. Ownership down. Let me read you underachieving teams. Pittsburgh, Carolina, Green Bay, Atlanta. There's 4. 6 plus 4 is 10. That's a third of the league. They're not in either. What you should lump them in with is Pittsburgh and New England and Dallas and teams that every year win somewhere between 9 and 12 games. They're a really, really good franchise. And they're going to host a playoff game, and they're probably going to win one, and then they're going to go on the road and probably lose. And that's because outside of New England, that's the way it works for everybody. The great coaches, Sean Payton, won Super Bowl. The Hall of Fame coaches, Andy Reid, won Super Bowl. Who's piling up Super Bowls? Take out Alabama. Who's piling up national titles in college football? Not the other 129 programs. Dallas is good. It's the biggest brand, the most revenue, the best front seven, the best linebacking duo, the best running back. Dak Prescott is a quarterback with a much lower ceiling than Patrick Mahomes or Andrew Luck or Carson Wentz or Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. He is. But we kind of lump Dallas into this either dysfunctional or underachieving group, and it's just not so. Troy Aikman won, Tony Romo won, Dak Prescott's winning, great brand, good again, winning division again. I don't think Jason Garrett's the most creative guy, and I think Dak has a low ceiling, but I will say this about Dak. He's generally at his best in the biggest moments of a football game. He's often better in the fourth quarter than the second. You put him in these games that matter, he's usually pretty good late in games. Limited sometimes? Yeah. Limited late? Not often. Philadelphia, congrats on the dog masks. You know what you're doing this week? Crossing your fingers. You know what Dallas is doing? Getting ready for a home playoff game.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So I went to the Chargers game, favored to beat Baltimore. Lamar Jackson did not. I want to talk about something. One of the reasons the NBA will never be the NFL, first of all, the regular season in the NFL is way better. But the NFL does something that is a great quality for people. It's a great quality for a family. It's a great quality for a business. It's an amazing quality in sports. Nobody is close to the NFL. Think about the word pivot. I used to work at a company. They didn't pivot well when the world changed. You got to pivot. The world's changing. Change with it or you get left behind. The NFL pivoted 2 years ago, and they started hiring college coaches as coordinators. They started bringing them in the offseason, and they said, we're tired of all these first-round quarterbacks being busts. They have pivoted to using more college ideas, more college coaches, more college offenses. And it's fascinating. The last 3 years, it used to be that a first-round quarterback was a 50-50 proposition. Half made it, half were busts. In the last 3 years, first-round quarterbacks, 11 pick, 10 can play. Only Paxton Lynch has missed. And some of these guys are reshaping the league. They have pivoted beautifully in the last couple of years to make it more of an offensive league and make it more accommodating to young college quarterbacks who maybe run a little more, maybe not the classic pocket passer. So I watched Lamar Jackson, and I said last week, I said, it's a little Tebow Denver, although I think Lamar is a better talent and a better thrower of the football. Well, I was blown away. First of all, the best throw of the game was not by Phillip Rivers. It was here by Lamar Jackson.
Dixon, who fumbled a moment ago, is back in the game. And then the middle, Jackson for his tight end, brought in by Mark Andrews, who escapes and goes all the way for the touchdown. Rookie to rookie, and the Ravens retake the lead.
He was poised. Listen, Baker Mayfield played the Chargers this year and was overwhelmed. I mean, Lamar Jackson was poised, under control. He's not a natural gifted thrower of the football, but Baltimore is all in on him. I was blown away by his composure. The best throw of the game was very good late. And I got to tell you right now, I used to wake up every Sunday morning and I was like, where's Brady playing and where's Aaron Rodgers playing? And I got to be honest, those guys are not in my top five or six anymore. It's where's Mahomes playing? Where's Russell Wilson? Where's Deshaun Watson? Where's Carson Wentz? Where's Baker? Where's Darnold? Where's Goff? Where's Lamar Jackson? They're more athletic. They're more captivating. And the ability by the NFL to pivot and say, we got to accept more of college football and bring it in, is really a great quality. By the way, I want to tell you three young quarterbacks who lost yesterday, and they were all great. Darnold lost and was great. Mahomes lost and was special. Deshaun Watson lost and was ridiculous. Watch this.
Third and 11. Watson steps up, spins. Watson somehow upright. Watson tosses downfield to Jordan Akins.
Wow.
He is a magician.
Wow.
Deshaun Watson looked like he was going to be brought down on three occasions.
How many Eagles had a shot at him? Spinning him around, keeping his composure. He is cool, isn't he?
It's really great. It is really great. For years and years, listen, I watched the NFL for four decades, and for almost all of it, forget a second-round quarterback, forget a third-round quarterback, forget a fourth-round quarterback. First-round quarterbacks were a coin flip. Bust or can play. 11, 10 can play. It is fantastic. We're seeing NFL football now is about 70% NFL. It's 30 college. And they started doing this 2 and 3 years ago, that NFL teams started bringing in the Baylor coach, the Oregon coaches, the Big 12 coaches, and saying, A, how do we do some of this offensively? And B, how do we defend it? It is fantastic. And by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo is coming back. We've got two college quarterbacks who I think, a kid at Oregon, a kid at Ohio State, they're going to walk into this league, start, and be fantastic. So, I mean, just look at the last 3 years of quarterbacks who have entered this league. That Cleveland's got one. The Jets have their guy. Buffalo's Josh Allen's remarkable. Baltimore, I'm told, Peter Schrager, who knows his stuff, told me this yesterday, that his sources told him that Harbaugh went into ownership and said, we're rolling with Lamar Jackson. We're going to draft a guy every couple of years that plays a little bit like him, because, you know, this is going to be hard to sustain running around with his size for years. But I watched Lamar Jackson. He was composed. He made the throw. They're going to go contrarian to the rest of the NFL. Now, if they fall behind big, it may not work. But they're going to control the clock, do some of this. I don't even know how to describe this offense. It is completely different than the rest of the NFL. And I think it's great that we have an NFL where there's a bunch of ways to play. Chicago's running an offense that doesn't look like anybody else, and Rams are doing their thing, and then you got the Kansas City's got four wide, and then Seattle's doesn't look like Baltimore's, and the Chargers are throwing deep downfield, and so are the NBA. There's one way to play: you shoot a bunch of threes, or you can't win. If you don't shoot threes well in the NBA, no chance to win the title. In the NFL, you can do it with defense and the wing T, Baltimore. You can do it with defense and kind of a college offense, Chicago. You can be run first, pass second, Seattle. You can be four wide, throw it downhill, Steelers in Kansas City. But I love what I'm seeing. I cannot wait for the NFL draft. I cannot wait. It is such a quarterback-friendly league. There's multiple ways to win. And I sat there with the Chargers in Baltimore, and I sat next to a bunch of Raven fans who, by the way, did not drink, were totally into their football team, very well behaved. Props to Ravens fans. They were totally into their team, came in from Baltimore, and I was like, this is good football too. It's not real flashy. It's not crazy, but Baltimore's playing winning football. Defense, well-coached, no mistakes, one or two big throws a game. Loved it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
You are wrong about Baker Mayfield. No, actually, he's exactly what I thought. Before the draft, I said ad nauseum multiple times over so I couldn't be misquoted. He'll be accurate. He'll be capable of winning quickly. He'll be juvenile, and he's marginally athletic. He is exactly that. He is accurate. He's winning. He needs to grow up, and he's marginally athletic. I mean, you look at all the young quarterbacks in the league. Is he athletic like Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Deshaun Watson? No, he's a two-time walk-on. He's not. He's a very accurate thrower of the football. And he also yesterday taunted a coach, just not necessary. Taunted a football coach. Really? Is this what Montana did? Oh, he's just what Cleveland needs. Really? A child playing quarterback. Maybe that's why you're Cleveland? Here's some sound.
Take a look at Baker Mayfield after this play, running right by Hugh Jackson on that Bengals sideline. He started to backpedal up the field and stared him down, Arch, for what felt like an eternity.
Oh, man, is Baker Mayfield something or what?
Oh, he's something. He's finishing in third place. By the way, John Dorsey's his GM. John Dorsey got fired in Kansas City despite building a good roster. Why? Google it. Too much ego. Baker Mayfield, too much ego. The Cleveland owner, who also runs the Tennessee Volunteer Football Program, legendary, too much ego. This will not, over 10, 12 years, end like you want it to. RG3 blew everybody away for 12 months. Too much ego. Andrew Luck was a better player. There is a reason of the 12 playoff quarterbacks, only one of them even has a reputation as a little bit of a trash talker, Philip Rivers. It's mostly guys like Luck and Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Brady, Breeze, Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins, Dak, grown-ups who don't taunt, grown-ups who put a wet blanket on the fire, not gasoline. But Colin is exactly what Cleveland needs. Really? You're now an expert on football? You've been the laughingstock of the league for, what, three decades? What Cleveland's always needed is an adult in the room, a 6'5", arm like Big Ben, skills like Mahomes, grown up. And what they got is a talented, accurate, juvenile, cool, lit guy who over time, with an ego-laden general manager and a dysfunctional owner, 10, 12 years from now, he'll look back and go, what was I doing? And I'm hoping he says that. There is never a right time to do the wrong thing. If Baker went to the sideline and barked at a teammate, I'm for that. I've seen Manning do it with a coach, Brady do it with a coach. Taunting. By the way, another piece of video we can't even put on the air. He mocked Cincinnati. We can't put it on the air. Again, I'll say it. Long term, I'll take a grown-up. I'll take Wilson. I'll take Luck. I'll take Darnold. I won't take taunting a coach who got fired and crazy took another job.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
And with that, via the Cowher Global Satellite Network, Monday morning quarterback Albert Breer. You've been covering this team for years. You used to cover the Dallas Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, and then it was the Boston Globe and the Patriots. And, you know, I know they're not flashy and cool, and I don't think this team is as good or dynamic, but I will say one thing, Albert. There's a lot of similarities. Bend, don't break defense. Run the football. Unbeaten at home. Your prediction guess on this playoff season for New England?
Well, I think they get to an eighth consecutive AFC championship game, which is absolutely staggering. And then I think they face an uphill climb getting to the Super Bowl. I'm so impressed with what they've done, because this year they've had a diminished Rob Gronkowski. They've had a diminished Julian Edelman. You know, on offense, they really haven't had a chance to build an identity, because Edelman was suspended for the first month. The next month after that, Gronk was hurt. They started to build up a role for Josh Gordon. Now he's gone. They've had so many moving pieces. And yet, yesterday, Tom Brady throws for less than 200 yards, has a 48 quarterback rating, and they find a way to rush for 275 yards against a pretty good Buffalo defense and grind out a win that way. If they're going to win, Colin, it's going to be on the diversity that they have as a team and their ability to win in different ways. They don't have overwhelming weapons this year. They don't have a ton of frontline talent. The core of their team's gotten older and older. But the trademark of the Patriots organization year after year after year is always being able to find a way to win. And even yesterday, with Brady not playing very well, they were able to saddle up behind a rookie running back and behind that offensive line and grind out a tough December win. And so, I think they win their first playoff game, because that's going to be at Gillette Stadium. You know, and then after that, I certainly wouldn't want to be the team that's going to have to face them in the AFC title game.
Let me shift to this. I'm not really into awards. I think this year's MVP award's kind of fascinating. I thought Russell Wilson was the best quarterback on the field last night. That is not a popular thing to say. I would vote Andrew Luck MVP. I think what he is doing is remarkable. He had a bad September, but so did the Patriots, and I don't care about Septembers, either the Heisman voters. What do you make of the Colt story that I would argue right now, what quarterback is doing more with less? I would say it's Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck. That's my opinion. What do you make of the Colts?
I look, if you're laying odds on Super Bowl 54, not 53, 54 right now, I think the Colts would have to be one of the three or four favorites to get to Miami in February of 2020. Now, I know we're looking forward there, but that's the sort of position the Colts are in right now. This was not supposed to be a playoff year. Chris Ballard and his team, when they came in there in January of 2017, figured it would probably be a three-year process getting it where it needed to be. And they already look incredible. Two very strong draft classes back-to-back. The 2018 draft class has two foundational offensive linemen in Quentin Nelson and Braden Smith, and maybe the defensive rookie of the year and Darius Leonard in it, plus other pieces. Yeah. They've got an incredibly strong core, the best offensive line Andrew Luck's ever played behind. And think about this, Colin. Next year, when we get to the offseason, they're going to have over $100 million to spend, and they've got the Jets' second-round pick, which is going to be in the top 35 or so picks. This is a franchise that's got a chance to win a playoff game or two this year. And then next year, with a 30-year-old Andrew Luck, I mean, like, and I know it's going to sound like I'm going overboard, there's dynasty potential in Indianapolis right now. What you're seeing and what you've seen in October, November, December looks very, very real to me. And when you look at the resources that they're going to have going forward, and the amount of under 25 talent that's on that roster, they're set up as well as anyone in the NFL going forward over the next few years.
So I'm looking at the NFL, and I'm looking at Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. And I was at that game. And Chicago and Baltimore are doing some college stuff. Seattle's a power running team. You've got quarterbacks everywhere in this league. And then I look at the Steelers, and I'm like, you can't fire Tomlin or Big Ben. I mean, they've got too much success. I've never seen a team this talented potentially not make the playoffs. I don't even know. I don't even know what to make of Pittsburgh. At some point, who's gonna get the heat here for this, Albert?
And I, you know, here's the hard thing about it, Colin, is that this is the way their program has been set up forever. They've always had these program leader type head coaches, from Chuck Noll to Bill Cowher. To Mike Tomlin. And what that's allowed them to do, that's allowed them to cast a wider net when it comes to talent, right? Like, so they're able to bring in big personalities. They're able to bring in at-risk guys. And you look at it, and almost every year you're like, how are they going to manage all of this? There's all these guys in that locker room. It looks combustible. And ultimately, they've been able to manage those sorts of personalities. And I think that they've given up a little bit on the other side, on the coaching side, to do that. But this has been the structure of who they've been forever. And I just don't know that you can change coaches now when you look at the way that they're set up. Is there someone other than Mike Tomlin who can come in there and manage Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster and Ben Roethlisberger and all the big personalities you've had in there? I'd actually argue that the job that Mike Tomlin has done in keeping the train on the tracks over the last 3 or 4 years, given all the Antonio Brown drama, all the Ben Roethlisberger drama, all the Le'Veon Bell drama, I'd say the job he's done in that regard is remarkable. Now, there's certainly things that you can argue with as far as how he's managed his staff, Todd Haley being gone, and how they've managed games. That's been out there for a while. The tricky thing about where Pittsburgh is part of the reason why they've been able to build this talent base is because Mike Tomlin enables them to do that.
Yeah.
And so I just don't know, as long as the team's constructed as it is right now, with an older Big Ben and an older Antonio Brown, that you can turn the page and have another type of head coach come in there.
Okay, there's going to be some coaching moves. I'm told Arizona, high probability they clean house. The Jets are obviously looking for a coach. Todd Bowles will get a very good defensive coordinator job and should. There's a story this morning. Jim Harbaugh is going to get a major offer from the New York Jets. I got about a minute left. Let's address that, because this is rare, Albert. You got a young, great, talented quarterback on a rookie deal. You have defensive people and you have cap space. It's a rebuild on the O-line, which is one of the things Harbaugh does well. This is a very, very tasty opportunity. What is your guess on Harbaugh and the Jets' job?
I think Harbaugh's back at Michigan in 2019. I do think that this tempts him. Remember, the Jets were the first NFL team to interview him while he was still the head coach at Stanford. Back in 2009, they quietly brought him in for an interview. So there is a relationship there. Like you said, there are tons of elements of this job that have to be enticing. $100 million to spend, the young quarterback. He's a celebrity head coach. This is the biggest stage, New York City. I just don't think he's ready to leave Michigan right now. I think it would be tempting, but I think he's back at Michigan in 2019. And here's another thing for you, Colin. I don't think that the Jets are done looking at the college level. I think they're going to cast a wide net as far as what they're going to look for in a head coach. And I would even look at somebody like a Matt Campbell from Iowa State potentially emerging as a candidate there in New York.
Albert Breer, chief lead content strategist, Monday Morning Quarterback. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Albert. We love you on the show.
All right, Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners and viewers, Colin.
Albert Breer, folks, guy is totally dialed in. I'm told he was nodding his head. Arizona's cleaning a lot of house. Jets are going to go after Harbaugh. My gut feeling is this is a great opportunity. I think Harbaugh passes on it. I will say this, and I said it last week. Harbaugh is going to win more in the Big Ten now because Urban Meyer's gone. He's going to get an offer like this for the next decade. He's not going to pass all 10 of them up. I don't know if you're going to get a Sam Darnold and $100 million in cap space many times. This is about as good. You only have to rebuild the O-line. Get a running back, O-line, Darnold, you're going to win games. And Brady's out of there soon.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He played a decade in the NFL. He was a Pro Bowler from South Central L.A. A new book called Never Shut Up, The Life, Opinions, and Unexpected Adventures of an NFL Outlier, Marcellus Wiley, co-host of Speak for Yourself. We only get you, you know, two or three times a year with your schedule. Book tours.
That. My schedule?
How about, I would say this, you were a Charger, so I go to the Charger game, and I said, this Lamar thing, it has a little bit of a Tebow feel, though I do believe Lamar is a draftable, he's a franchise quarterback. I just didn't think he was ready as a rookie. And then I go to the game, and I'm like, he made the best throw. He was incredibly composed. Now, I don't think going forward, there'll be a great team playing from behind. Right. I think there are limitations, but I got to tell you, I don't think I've been more wrong on any rookie quarterback in years than Lamar Jackson. He is ready now to play. He was totally composed against that defense.
Yeah, I was amazed as well. Had my hesitations about calling him a franchise quarterback. Didn't know if the franchise would totally commit to the running game as they have.
And that's the key.
The playbook has to all of a sudden talk the same language as your franchise quarterback if you're going to deem him that, especially a one-dimensional quarterback who Lamar Jackson was. But his confidence has grown over the weeks, and now his arm is live. That is real talent out of his arm. We saw it before in college, but we didn't see it in the pro ranks. But watching him in the Charger elements and in that game, even his misses were good. Even his misses gave you confidence because there were missed balls. There were dropped balls. There were balls that were on target but properly defended. This is a guy that is now working his way into being two-dimensional. And if that's the case with Baltimore, with their rushing attack and that defense, they're going to make some hay.
By the way, I also loved about Lamar, and I've said this for years, I like my quarterbacks to be quarterback-y. I love Luck. Okay. I love Russell Wilson.
Yes.
I love Lamar came in a couple weeks ago and he said, they were talking about him and he goes, it's not about me, it's about us. On the contrary, I got Baker Mayfield taunting Hugh Jackson. Mm. I didn't like his college nonsense. I don't like this. He did something else we can't show on TV. I think you better be careful about taunting people in your division, taunting the Bengals. This Baker Mayfield stuff, if I'm John Dorsey, the GM, I'm sitting him down, I'm like, son, reel it in.
Interesting. I don't feel that way. I think a lot of the lack of trash talk, especially at the quarterback position, is fear-based. We come from a place where we look at the quarterback as the leader of the franchise and say, hey, don't talk bad about your opponents, even though we talk bad about all of our opponents in practice in our preparation week, because it could come back to haunt you. There are no ghosts and goblins out there on the football field. Either you play well and you're quiet, or you play well and you're brash and you're arrogant. But it doesn't matter. It's all based on how you perform. And Baker Mayfield is putting all of his cards on his performance and saying, separate the two. And it's tough for a lot of guys to separate the two because they get caught up in the psychology of, I don't want the other team to get bulletin board material. Everyone I've played against and everyone I played with came fully motivated to every contest. So whether you were trying to be the docile type and, oh, say all the right things and be PC, or whether you poked your chest out Cam Newton style, what Baker Mayfield style, say, here I come, stop it. And I'm with Baker Mayfield in changing the complexion of that position as long as he backs it up. And so far, he's done just that. If Baker Mayfield would have came in with a different mental makeup, I don't think they put up any more wins. And that's what this game is about. Bottom line, win-loss column. And right now, he's done a lot to change the culture and the win-loss column for this franchise.
When you look at the Dallas Cowboys, certain teams go into the playoffs, you feel good about them. If Pittsburgh made it in, I don't feel great. If Baltimore went in, Chicago went in, I feel great. How do you – because, you know, the reality of this league is your health. Are you on a winning streak?
Yeah.
How's the locker room? I don't feel good about Pittsburgh today. I feel – by the way, I didn't feel good about the Rams. I'm going to wait one more week on the Rams. Let's talk Cowboys. You know the culture. Big win over the Saints. Ugly loss to the Colts. Struggle, but beat Tampa. Where are the Cowboys, Marcellus, for you today? Above the shoulders, health, players, where?
Yeah, it's interesting. It takes me back to my track days. And in track, there's a dry phase, and then there's a relaxed phase, and then there's an acceleration phase, and then there's a hold-on phase, kind of like don't fatigue and keep proper form. And you have to run all phases properly to run the best race. And it's just interesting watching the Cowboys – and all these teams, some teams sprint and some teams know it's a marathon. Some teams get momentum as the season goes on. And right now we're looking at a Dallas Cowboys team that I think really has a ton of confidence. What they won, 6 of their last 7. You talk about them understanding their identity. It goes through Zeke. Dak has to just play mistake-free football, which is interesting. A quarterback that we're not going to say we want to win because of you. This is a quarterback that we want to win with you, and definitely we can win in spite of you in certain situations. I think they feel good about themselves. They are not a team that offensively is going to wow you, because I think teams are going to just constrict on the running game and 8-9 in a box and force Dak to beat them in plan B. But plan B for this team is having Amari Cooper, it is having a Cole Beasley, and it is going out there and playing mistake-free offensive football. That's enough to win in today's NFL. We saw with the Baltimore Ravens and controlling the clock and time of possession, keep the opposing offense off the field. I think the Dallas Cowboys are made up of that same formula. Will it be successful? I think they could do something in the playoffs, but I don't see them as a Super Bowl contender.
It's interesting. Kansas City's 0-4 in their 4 biggest games, but they've averaged like 38 points. You've been in locker rooms. I've seen this with baseball teams from time to time where the pitching's great and the hitting's awful. And over the course of a season, the hitters don't like the pitchers.
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible, as, again, Kansas City gets in these great games and plays their butt off offensively and they can't stop anybody? Do you worry about that sometimes as you go into the playoffs, that the offense will press knowing it has to score, right, won't take safety, and there's a little growing resentment that, fellas, you got to hold teams under 38. What do you make of the way the Chiefs are losing the same way in all these big games?
Yeah, talk about that sibling rivalry that occurs in the locker room.
It does.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's civil wars in the locker room all the time. And it starts off friendly because the stakes aren't as high as they will be come playoff time. And it's funny, I've been on teams, I've been on number one defenses where everyone knew the mantra, go out there and keep the team under 10, we're going to win. And then you get into certain situations where the offense, they hold the leverage. And then they're saying, hey, guys, keep them under 24 and we'll finish the deal. And the Chiefs, If they score 25 points in their next game, first team in NFL history to score 25 or more points.
Every game.
Every game. You imagine being on that defensive side and saying, why aren't we undefeated? So I think because their leader on offense is a second-year player, really a first-year starter in Patrick Mahomes, you won't get that resentment from that group because under its leadership, it's a young guy who's just learning which way is up. Now, he's the MVP of this league. He's amazing, but I don't think he comes with that seniority, that veteran mindset that's a little callous.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with Aaron Rodgers, I saw him yesterday in the first half rolling his eyes after he got sacked.
Exactly.
Like Aaron's like, guys, I didn't even have to play today. I don't want to get whacked eight times. Right. Yeah, I think that your point is something in life is when you're new to a scene, you're so happy to be involved, talked about, discussed, that you don't have that resentment, which I think can creep into veteran quarterbacks if you've been there, seen that. I think the team that's fascinating in the league, and they had a bad September, and we forgot about them. Hmm. The Colts are frightening. Luck's on fire.
Yes.
By the way, their offensive line is the most improved in the league. Mm-hmm. Their defense has a bunch of no names, but they play all in a string. There's no Rams headhunting. I think the Colts are playing with complete house money, Marcellus. What do you make of them? A dud in September and on fire since about week seven.
Yeah, I mean, this team is rallying around the two most improved players in our NFL this year. Obviously, you start with Andrew Luck and his performances, but Eric Ebron at the tight end position.
Incredible.
Incredible. And being his security blanket, helping Andrew Luck get the confidence and the arm strength down the field to finally get that relationship back with T.Y. Hilton. And like you said, in the trenches, this team is top five in the trenches on both sides of the ball, collective unit. So, yeah, they're going to do something. And if you look at Andrew Luck, and it's interesting if you look at him in terms of expectations, it's been a roller coaster ride.
No question.
I mean, you had to fasten your seatbelt with Andrew Luck because you expected so much and you got so much. But then the health concerns and the issues and his injuries and everything came into play. Is the team talented enough around him? He's in that mental place where now he's going to play everyone up to his level. And Eric Ebron, who was a highly touted tight end out of college, is now living up to those expectations.
He's a Pro Bowler.
Yes, exactly, and having a career year. So you don't want to mess with a for-real franchise quarterback who's coming into his own and now feels like he has a second chance in his NFL life and is making the most of it.
Ton of cap space.
Yeah.
They got a GM who will probably win GM of the year. They hit a home run in the last two drafts. Marcellus Wiley, decade in the NFL, a Pro Bowler. Great having you on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.